Let's open the scriptures. Open to Matthew chapter 7. I think the best title for this talk is the whole gospel. The whole gospel. So Matthew chapter 7. And these are Jesus' words himself. And it says down in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So we understand, you know, that Jesus Christ is our rock, the Word is our rock, and so we build our house on the rock. We build our understanding on this rock, this great foundation that cannot be moved. It says elsewhere in the Scriptures it cannot be moved. In fact, God himself said that he cannot lie, he cannot change his mind, he cannot sin. So we have this solid rock that we build our lives on. And it says there when the floods came, the rain and so forth, or winds and so forth, trials, things that batter us and make us, you know, a little bit unstable. You know, if our house is built on the rock, which is Jesus Christ and his word, and the whole gospel, it will not fall. And there are people sitting here who've been through a lot. They've been here many years, walking on since being baptized and receiving the Holy Spirit, because they knew to rely on the rock. But then it goes on that those that build their house on the sand, their whole lives on the sand, is a fragment of rock. And so you build your house on a part of the gospel, or not all of the word, the understanding you glean, but you chop and change it to suit what you want. And when the floods come and gets battered a bit, then great is the fall of it. And when Jesus comes back and you build your house on the sand, not the whole gospel but parts of it, then great is the fall of it. When that consuming fire comes, that's a fair old battering on a house. But our house, if we build it on the rock, the whole gospel, not parts of it, then our house will stand and we can be raised up to meet the Lord in the air. Whereas if we start to chop it up or add little bits, I'll read another scripture that that really hits you in the face as well, but then our house will not stand. And so over to that one, Revelation chapter 22. This scripture here, I remember I got my first Bible when I was 11, and well before I received the Holy Spirit, and I was so happy to finally have a copy of God's Word in my hand. I wanted it for so long before that. And I remember reading these scriptures at the end of Revelation, and it's quite profound, quite serious, how the Lord views the whole gospel and how important it is not to break it up into little fragments and make it a sand. So Revelation chapter 22 and down in verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Okay? So these things are to be testified and spread abroad amongst the people, amongst God's chosen people, i.e. the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That's the Spirit, that life-giving water. Verse 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. So profound, so important. Not many words there, so succinct at how important the Lord views his gospel to be spread in its entirety, not in bits and pieces, not little bits of sand here and there. Oh, we don't, you know, that's an offensive thing. We won't bother about that. oh, forget about the Spirit. Not many people are receiving the Spirit nowadays, so we won't worry about the Spirit. Or baptism, that's too hard. You know, we don't have good heating and it's cold. Oh, let's just go straight to the Spirit, but give up on baptism. Repentance, another vital thing. Not making it clear to someone before baptism how important repentance is and how it's all about a new life. You know, this breaking up the whole gospel. We need to look at the whole gospel. And then after that, that born-again experience to carry on walking in Spirit and truth. That is part of the whole gospel. That's what you build this house on, a solid house, a solid foundation. And this is how important it is to the Lord that we carry on doing that. Regardless of how our lives have been battered and so forth and discouragement and so forth, that we carry on preaching the whole gospel instead of breaking it up. Breaking it up to make it more palatable because of these verses, particularly verses 18 and 19, how profound it is to the Lord, how important it is. We have been given an amazing commission. We have been given this authority to go about and preach the gospel because we know what it is. We know what to say to people when they ask of the hope that dwells in us. We know exactly what to say. So let's tell them the whole thing, the whole gospel. Over to Galatians chapter 1. Of course, written to the church, the Christian church, Spirit-filled church at Galatia by Paul himself. And verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So these people, they gloriously accepted the great gospel of by the grace of Christ, but then they were somehow removed unto another gospel. But then, verse 7, it says, which is not another. It's not even another gospel. It's just words. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. He repeated it. But it even says Paul admits himself. Even Paul's saying, look, even if I carry on and go and join, you know, follow you up in Galatia, and I start prattling away words that are different to what I was saying at the start. You know, it says we or an angel from heaven. If someone comes along, I remember I was witnessing in Fremantle once and some bloke claimed to be an angel from heaven that he knew the true gospel. So even if an angel from heaven comes and tells you, preaches another gospel, you know, don't listen to him. You know, you go back to that original gospel that was preached unto you, that's written in the word. Because, and I like how it says there that another gospel is not actually even another gospel. It's all lies. Like it doesn't even warrant the definition of a gospel, the true gospel. And so we hold fast on that. And we have to keep referring back to the scriptures, you know, because I often find like, you know, you can pick away slowly at things and people can change their way of thinking slowly. And so that can happen to everyone because we're human beings. You know, influences we have in our life over years, decades, can be picked away slowly and we can change our mindset, change our opinion of the gospel, break it up. And so we've got to keep going back to the rock, back to that foundation, reading the scriptures, constantly fellowshipping, talking about the things of the Lord, of Jesus Christ, of the Spirit, of baptism, of all these things, walking on in Spirit and truth, so that we're constantly knocked back into that line. We're all human beings. We have these frailties, and so we shouldn't be afraid to be knocked back into line. Let's follow the straight path that that leads to heaven. The whole gospel. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. You know? To repeat the same simple things over and over again. You know, it's not grievous for Paul and it's not grievous for the Lord, but it's Paul's writing here, but for you it's safe. to be repeating these things, you know, that what the whole gospel is all about is not grievous, but it's safe, so that our house will stand, so that we do set those roots deep, and we do draw the nourishment from the Spirit, and that we survive, that we do overcome. Verse 2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Like I said before, we know the frailties of the flesh. We have confidence in the Spirit. That is where our strength is. It says at the end of verse 2, beware of the concision. You know, like the concise version of the Oxford Dictionary is one that's been chopped up. It's just a small version of it. So beware of the concision. Beware of those people that want to chop it up and ignore certain things that are written in the Scriptures, you know, because the whole gospel is what we want to listen to or hearken unto, even when we don't like it. Even when it sits bad within us, we still take that as being the truth, not what we think. So beware of the concision. Those that try to water things down and try not and say, oh, you don't need to apply that. You know, that part of the gospel doesn't count in this instance. No, it all does. You know, this is the true gospel. That down in verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Let us all press forward for the prize of the high calling. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. You know, you might have a different frame of mind, but the Lord will reveal. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing, not something different. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's where our mindset is. We look forward to the Saviour. We look forward to Jesus Christ coming back. We think spiritually now. You know, like our God is not our belly, you know, because that end is destruction. And I like how it says there in 18, for many walk of whom I've told you often and now tell you weeping. You know, Paul has invested so much emotional energy in trying to get the Spirit-filled people of his time to understand how important it is to follow the Spirit and how to follow the whole gospel, to continue walking, not to break it up. You know, he's there weeping. He had amazing revelations. He had amazing understanding. He was the apostle chosen out of time, and he was drawn up into the third heaven. And so he had this incredible understanding that others did not. And so he knew that. But here he is weeping, you know, repeating things. You know, it's not grievous for him, but it's safe for those that listen to be reminded about it. Matthew chapter 3. And here we get into an aspect here. This is the story of John the Baptist. And Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand or near. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. People from all these places came to hear John the Baptist preaching. Verse 6. And these people were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins, so repenting. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, or worthy of repentance. Down in verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he'll burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So we look at John the Baptist. We know he was there for 3 months before Jesus rocked up. And he was here preaching about this new way, baptism by full immersion, according to repentance. But what he preached was still the whole gospel. Because he preached, yes, baptism according to repentance, but then you must believe on him that comes after John, i.e. Jesus Christ. Because he's the one who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And that is the whole gospel. You know, repentance, baptism, receiving the Holy Spirit. And we know you receive the Holy Spirit when you speak in tongues. And he understood this. He understood the whole gospel so much so that when Jesus arrived to be baptized of John, John said, no, this is back to front. This is all over the place. No, Jesus, you should be baptizing me. Because John knew that he was the one that everyone should follow. It says elsewhere that as Jesus increased, John decreased. You know, John faded into the background because it's all about Jesus. He was laying the way, the path for Jesus to arrive and to be able to preach his gospel, or the true gospel. And so he knew that Jesus was greater. But Jesus' answer was, well, just put up with it for a little bit, won't you? You know, just do it. You know, it fulfills righteousness. So if you're wondering one of the reasons why you get baptized, it's to fulfill righteousness. And it's so important. You are not righteous before God unless you're baptized by full immersion. And so John just sucked it up and baptized Jesus because he had to. Jesus had to be baptized to fulfill righteousness. And John was the bloke who was chosen to do it. But that wasn't it, you know. That wasn't it. It was about the Spirit. And straight away after that, the Spirit descended upon Jesus Christ. So that's the whole gospel. Even then, John the Baptist was preaching the whole gospel. He didn't break it up into bits of sand. It was the whole rock, the whole thing. So those followers of John the Baptist should have known what the whole gospel was. And indeed, the other apostles were surely baptized according to John's baptism. According to John's baptism, if you know what I mean. Little pun there. But baptized by full immersion unto repentance and to follow him that comes after him. Just go over to John chapter 14. And John the Baptist, I mean, he had an incredible commission, you know, predicted in the book of Isaiah, as we read there, to come before the Saviour. So it was so important that he got it right. And he knew that. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, keep the whole gospel. And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Jesus' own words here, saying the coming of the Holy Spirit will dwell in you, and it'll be this comforter. And just to complete it, verse 26, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So a great promise here, Jesus saying, yes, this is so important. The baptism that John was performing was important. But also receiving the Holy Spirit was so vital. That's the life. That completes the gospel. That's the rock. It wasn't broken up. So over to Acts chapter 9, an interesting story of Paul here, Acts chapter 9. And we know in those first few years that the apostles certainly were led by the Spirit and made many judgments. And Peter himself on that day of Pentecost, stood up boldly and it all came together for him. The 3.5 years of preaching from Jesus. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. And Saul, who ultimately became Paul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, or this new way of Jesus, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Thou, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. So Paul was this man, we can understand from the scriptures that he had a great zeal to do what was right. And he thought the way of the old law was right. It was right once, but he didn't realise that this new way of people following Jesus Christ and the whole receiving of the Holy Spirit and so forth, he didn't realise this was the new covenant. But he had this great zeal, and here he is. He's just thrown on his back, and it says there, like, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. The pricks, it refers to like goads, which were, how do I describe this? So, you know, in horse and cart, they used to put these goads behind the horses so they wouldn't kick back onto the cart. I mean, horribly painful, but it certainly worked. And so what Jesus is saying here to Paul is, look, what you're doing here, you're just kicking against pricks. You're just hurting yourself. You know, you have a zeal for God and doing things which are right, but you're just hurting yourself. You know, what you're doing is leading to destruction. It's actually your God is your belly. You know, listen to me. Listen to what Jesus has to say. And I like, even though Paul was so determined that what he was doing was right, he still, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He was just totally humbled. Okay, I'll stop kicking against the pricks. Tell me what I have to do. And so he just said, look, go into the city. But it's interesting as well that Paul lost his sight. It was like his vision was taken away. You know, he could no longer see. He was trying to see in his own strength, but he wasn't looking at spiritual things. And so his vision was taken away. And he didn't eat during that time. But over in a little bit of dialogue going between God and this bloke called Ananias, but just go down to verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Paul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. So Paul was baptized by full immersion, and it says here that he was also filled with the Holy Ghost. And these scales fell off his eyes and he had a vision. He could now see spiritual things. So even though he was so determined and he's so sure in his mind that what he was doing was right, he still had this mindset that maybe it might have been wrong. You know, and when it was proven wrong, he still followed what was right. He still was humbled and he got this great vision. He's got to be able to see what it was all about. He got to be able to see what the whole gospel meant. He was converted miraculously, and he became an incredible apostle for the Lord. So over to Acts chapter 19. Slight reference to this earlier. Acts chapter 19, and we'll read it in verse 1. Acts chapter 19 and verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, What then were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. I said this before, but it turns out they weren't baptized according to John's baptism. Because if they were baptized according to John's baptism, they would have been praying for the Holy Spirit. So in these succeeding chapters, people had forgotten about the Holy Spirit. They were now building their house on sand. They weren't following the whole gospel. They weren't building their house on the rock. It had been chopped and changed and so that for popularity maybe or to make people feel better. But they thought they'd been baptized according to John's baptism, which was just by water and repentance. They were told that. Verse 4, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. See, that was the baptism of John. Baptism according to repentance, yes, but then to follow and believe on him that should come after him, i.e. Christ Jesus, which was all about the Spirit. Verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. Just wonderful here, 12 disciples who were keen to follow God, to do what was right. They thought they were doing it right, like Paul did before his conversion. But then Paul rocks up, just asks a simple question, and these 12 were happy to comply, weren't they? They got baptized again. They didn't have this mindset, oh, my baptism's good enough. No, they got baptized again according to the whole gospel with the hope of receiving the Holy Spirit. Because before that, when they got baptized, they didn't get baptized with the hope of receiving the Holy Spirit. So they were happy to comply with the whole gospel. And us as human beings today, filled with the Spirit, we need that same mindset to be happy to comply with the whole gospel and happy to talk about the whole gospel, happy to pursue, regardless of what opposition comes up and arguments of the mind, the mindset, the wisdom of this world, but happy to go about, well, all I know, everyone, is what the gospel says, and that's all I'm going to speak, because you get results. The house is firm. It's standing firm on the rock. It's immovable. It'll be there when Jesus Christ returns, and then we can be raised up. Just over to Acts chapter 11. Just an interesting little thing here. Just one verse, Acts chapter 11. This is actually after another account of when the Gentiles first received the Holy Spirit. But Peter here, in amongst his defence of what was going on and explaining how miraculous it was that the Gentiles also received the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, there's this one verse, Acts chapter 11 and verse 15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So it says here, as he's recounting this thing, he saw the Holy Ghost miraculously poured out on these people, as he remembered in Acts chapter 2. But then it says, then remembered I. Okay, so let us remember. Let us constantly remember what the whole gospel's all about. Implant it in our mind. Let us say, that's what it is. You know, let us not forget, continually remember. It's not grievous to be continually reminded of what it's all about. You know, why Jesus came, why he died, you know, why you need the Spirit, why God so desires a relationship with people to call them his own children through the Spirit, to focus on things that are spiritual and not things that are carnal, because that's eternity. That's where we belong. We don't belong here. Let us remember. Let us always remember, talk about it, think about it, like frontlets between the eyes. You know, it's a wonderful thing. It's a relaxing thing. We can sit back and be comfortable and confident in what we know because we remember what the whole gospel is all about. Last scripture, James chapter 1. And tying scriptures together, not just isolating one scripture, but tying them all together to get that proper picture. Let us remember. Remember to set aside time. James chapter 1, just one verse here. And verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Okay? That's the thing. We come together, as we say, to wash each other's feet, because that's all that gets spotted from the world. We're walking around in the muck, but we still have this cloak of righteousness, and so we come together to wash each other's feet. But let us stay unspotted from the world. Let not the world break up this great rock, this great foundation, so that we're not building our house on the sand, but we're building it on the rock. As we people or things pick away at us, you know, and try to make that foundation crumble. Let us be unspotted from the world and focus on spiritual things. Okay, thank you. I'll hand over to Brent, who's got the communion. Thank you.